The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani. He's going to talk about the character of Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What did it mean to be a Shia of Imam Sadiq? What did it mean? We're trying to learn a lesson, brothers and sisters, so that we can ready ourselves for the Imam of the time. One of the stories that we've heard, many of us have heard this story, about the Qiyam of the Abbasids that took place in the life of Imam Sadiq. Maybe we've heard of a man named Abu Muslim. Abu Muslim was a commander of the Abbasid army, and he came to the Imam. And before the Abbasids announced their government, he brought a letter. There were others. They said that, "Will you rule us? Will you be the leader?" And the Imam famously said, he says, "Ma anta min rijali, you're not one of my men, wala zaman, zamani, this time is not my time." So back to our question. What was it like, or what did it mean to be one of the men of Imam Sadiq? What was the time of Imam Sadiq like? What did it mean to be one of his Shia, that he would tell this man who's leading a powerful army, leading a political movement, that you are not one of my men, and this is not my time? What we find our senior scholars saying is this. This is something for us, again, to do tarbiyah of ourselves. The term Shia, in the time of the Ahlul Bayt, it was not used as loosely as it is today. It wasn't just used for those who love the Ahlul Bayt. There are many who love the Ahlul Bayt. It wasn't even used for those who are ideological in this way, that they believed that the imams were appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the khulafa of Rasulullah. Just rather, the term Shia had a special meaning back in those days. The term was used for those who not only believed, but were actively resisting, along with the imam, to wrest political power from the tawaghit and give it back to the imam. Those people were considered the Shia. That term was used for them. Because the Ahlul Bayt, they had to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, but the way to do that was going to be through resistance. You see, if you look at the lives of the Ahlul Bayt big picture, you'll see that there was a strategy that they employed. And then after that, inshallah, it'll make sense of what Imam Sadiq was doing. The strategy of the Ahlul Bayt was this. They wanted to spread the teachings of Islam far and wide. The idea was, if the teachings of Islam spread far and wide, a number of the people will embrace Islam. They will love Islam. They will accept its ideology, its principles, its jurisprudence. These people will long for the kingdom of God on the earth. Once I've embraced Islam, once I know who the Ahlul Bayt are, why wouldn't I want that there be Islam on the face of the earth? How would I live? But the imams didn't only do that. They also had another mission, and that is to raise and train a select group of determined individuals, a small group of determined individuals who would resist alongside the imam. These were the Shia of the imam. They had special instructions from the imam. These were the people, if you hear a hadith where the Imam Sadiq is saying, "Don't share our secrets It's that group that he's talking about. Not the people were teaching ahkam. The imam was teaching ahkam openly. Who were the people who were keeping the secrets of them? These were people who would get the monies of the imam to where it needed to be. They would pass the message of the imam. The imam is living in Medina. Why would people in Morocco know what the imam's saying? It would be through this line of the Shia. Those who were resisting, actively part of this. These individuals, if they were captured by the Tawhut, they would suffer torture, they would be beheaded. They're trying to fight. This is an underground organization resisting, actively involved with the imam. Not just that I like the imam, not just that I believe in the imam. I'm trying to help make this happen. So what happened is all of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they had this policy. And when you see the term Shia, and I'm going to talk about this underground organization and what it was doing and what happened in the time of Imam Sadiq, and then also, unfortunately, how the organization failed. But what happened is this small group of determined individuals who was resisting, who gave shuhada, it was there in the time of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen and the other imams. This group was there. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the situation that was there in the time of Imam Sadiq, why things were so different, so ripe for a qiyam. So, having said that, those are the two main policies. So now back to what our imam was doing. Remember, our imam wants to establish the divine government on the face of the earth. He wants the people of the world to know Islam. And it makes sense. We want something that the people want. They know. It's not we're tricking. It's not going to be imposed. So the imam has to spread that knowledge far and wide as far as he can. That intellectual growth has to happen to the masses. That they embrace Islam's teachings. When I say intellectual growth, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean the standard, well, I have a PhD. No, no. Intellectual growth in the Islamic sense. Aql, as defined by Ahlul Bayt, is different from Western intellectual growth. The Prophet said, Al-aqlu maktusiba bihil jannah. True intellect. Intellectual growth that's going to ready the ground for the coming of the imam is that intellect that leads to attaining paradise. That's aql. In addition to that, for the masses again, that longing had to be developed for the kingdom of God on the earth. Allah doesn't impose his magnificent blessing. You have to want that. The masses have to be determined for that. As it says in the Quran, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. That the masses rise up for justice. You and I, right now, we should be hearing the footsteps of the Mahdi. Right now, you're slowly, I'm not saying we're there yet. We have work to do. The masses, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ. The people have to rise up for justice. But they have to know what they're getting into. In the light of that, you see that our imam, and it was unprecedented, the amount of ulum of Ahlul Bayt, spreading and teaching Islam that took place in the time of Imam Sadiq didn't happen for any imam before and not for any after. Spreading the message. But that was only one part of the mission. You see, when the imam did this, there were a couple of things that the imam was doing with this by spreading Islam in the right way. One of them was the logic of the Ahlul Bayt was that the person who had this divine knowledge should be obeyed. The imam is someone who's not just your political leader. They have that divine knowledge. They're telling you what God said. They know the religion of Islam. Listen to this one beautiful hadith of the imam. He says this from Imam Sadiq. وَلَا تُنَازِ الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَهُ. Never dispute with the person who is rightfully the leader, rightfully in charge. Don't do tanazo. Don't fight with this person. Don't dispute with this person. At the same time, the imam says something else. وَلَا تُطِعِ السُّفَهَا. Also, don't obey those who are safi, naive. Now, there are so many applications to this. Discussions that we have from our scholars on just this one line of Imam Sadiq. But one part that we're trying to use right now is according to the mantiq and the logic of the Ahlul Bayt, those who are actively working for their own destruction and the destruction of mankind, they're naive. How could I work for the destruction of myself if you're a taghut and you're committing sins that no human being can commit? How could that be a good thing? This person is safi in the mantiq of the Ahlul Bayt. And the Ahlul Bayt had this logic that they would try to teach people. So the imams, that was one of the things they were doing. There was something else too. The imams knew the only way for the tawaghit to exist and to run the affairs of the people was when Islam was not known in its true sense. When people had deviated from true Islam, when the teachings which were supposed to liberate were used to put people to sleep, that's when a taghut could come into power. Even more important than dismantling the political apparatus of the taghut was to cut the life vein of the system of the tawaghit by protecting Islam from deviation and introducing Islam as is. If Islam was introduced as is, the natural result was someone like Imam Sadiq had to leave, to lead.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.